All right, Formates, what scientific gadget would you invent if you could use it to do anything? Ryan.
Me. You meant
James. I meant James, of course.
I would have to invent... You know how you always lose one sock? I'd like a gadget that finds that other sock.
Steven.
I'm just going to be straight up real with you. I want the Star Trek transporter.
Go anywhere. I was expecting somebody
to...
You have to invent.
Doesn't mean... It hasn't been invented
yet. It's
been
conceptualized before. Ryan.
The Sockamatron has not.
Well, Rome was conceptualized before it was built, not in a day. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Ryan, what would your device do?
My device would be a device that records a podcast.
Okay.
all right.
By the way, you would have won the whole podcast had you just said you wanted a device that would build Rome in a day.
Yeah.
James, you win.
That's where I was going with that.
The Sockamatron.
You win.
The fact that it's the most boring of all of those.
It was the only one that was actually invented here at this table just now. 3 points.
It would probably be like, you know, how they say, like, gremlins take it. It'd probably just be like a gremlin killer.
A gremlin finder, at least.
Yeah. At the very least.
It wouldn't necessarily
a radar or something.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of
Hey You
from Under a Rock.
Wow, that was
rock
still
rock. I'm Ryan Evans.
I am Michael Ornelas.
I'm James McAnally.
And I'm Steven Zarita.
And this is the podcast where we watch movies or TV shows that one or more of us has not seen by now that they should have, bringing them out from under the proverbial rock.
Well said.
I've got it down. But
no, I know.
I hear it. 44 episodes in now.
Remember when I took the reins on that either last week or the week before and I completely botched it?
Yeah. You started out by saying,
the podcast where we sit down.
Do we not?
Most of the time, yeah.
We have never
sometimes
done
if
a
it's
standing
intense,
episode.
I'll stand, grab the mic.
And then we can't hear you.
I have to say... We watched Rick and Morty this week, and I was not just sitting down. I was at attention. I was at attention.
Oh, okay.
Because I think this show is simply fantastic.
Yeah,
it is.
I think it was a good choice by Michael.
Aw.
It's a damn good show,
real
Michael.
Solid
you guys. Damn good.
Real solid way to start out this 11th cycle.
Is it our 11th cycle?
It's good times, guys.
Yeah.
Real quick, though, I have to say, this show, Rick and Morty, critically and fairly commercially lauded, I think. Very successful on both of those fronts.
I've always heard it pronounced lauded.
It's loudly lauded.
I say laundried, actually.
Laundered?
Critically
laundried. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Small little tangent here, but a movie called Mad Max just came out. Mad Max Fury Road.
I still haven't seen it.
You want to go see it?
I have not seen it.
Are you guys serious?
None of us have seen it.
Holy shit.
I've seen it twice.
You better win this week.
If I do, that might actually be my pick because need to have seen it by now. Yeah. It's one of the best movies. It's come out in a long time. This and Whiplash, I would say, are my two favorite movies of the past 5 years.
Cool.
But
to your point,
it's Mad
critically
Max,
lauded.
Mad Max. It's critically laundered. It has a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, and my coworker was asking me if I had seen it. And I said, "Yeah, I loved it. What'd you think?" And she's like, "Yeah, it wasn't really my thing."
Was it Lydia?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she was. Yeah. We work at the same place.
This podcast is also the one where we talk shit on our coworkers.
I'm not talking shit. She's entitled to her opinion, even though she's
wrong.
She's very much in the minority, I will say, on this one. And I personally happen to think she's wrong. But
she wanted to talk with me about it the other night, and I was just like, "Oh, I haven't seen it yet." She's like, "Okay, well, let me know what you think." And I was like, "Oh, did you not like it?"
her. See, she didn't really tell me why her main argument was that the second half was more exciting than the first.
Is that a bad thing?
That's how movies work, right? Yeah.
Because it's a buildup.
Yeah. And I don't understand that logic. Also, it's like a 2-hour car chase, and the entire thing.
Well,
is,
yeah, it's like one big sequence, essentially, right?
The entire thing is super exciting. And the first 20 minutes of that movie are the best first 20 minutes of any movie I've seen this year or last year in quite a while. It's I don't know how she thought that could be boring, because like it's one of those where it fades to black and the theater just starts applauding and you're like, this could have been a whole movie on its own.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the first 20 minutes of Mad Max Fury Road.
So Rick and
we
Morty.
We should cut and paste this portion of our podcast into the Mad Max episode inevitably do.
We'll save that for later. But yeah, for now, Rick and Morty.
How did this even get to Mad Max?
It was just on my mind.
Things that are good.
Highly stylized, kind of crazy, ridiculous.
I didn't know you guys hadn't all seen it already. I was ready to
make a point.
To make a point with you guys. And you guys would just be like, oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, you're right.
Well,
maybe.
Rick and Morty. Michael, why do you think this is worth de-rocking everybody from? Or specifically James?
Yeah, I've seen half of it.
Because you should have seen. I mean, it's so... It's a great mixture of it's deep, dark, hilarious, fantastic sci-fi. Actually, an article came out today on Nerdist by their writer Kyle Anderson. Why Rick and Morty is the best sci-fi show on TV. And he makes so many points, even stacks it up against like Futurama and says that show kind of... rested its laurels on sentimentality, and this show is more on the actual sci-fi. I'm going to bring up points from this throughout the rest of the podcast. I'm not going to like dive in everything now, but that opinion is out there that it is the best sci-fi show on TV, and I completely agree, so that's why it was my pick.
I don't know if I could say it's the best sci-fi show on TV, mainly because there's so many TV shows I haven't seen. But I will agree with what this article probably says.
Well, when we're comparing them to stuff that's on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Okay, yeah.
I think...
well, no. Megalodon versus...
That's not a TV show.
Sharkosaurus.
That's a movie. That's not
okay.
A
you can't compare them.
That's a long-running series.
No. One of the things I love about Rick and Morty is it takes complete advantage of the sci-fi setting. And almost every episode... plays on a different theme from, you know, there's a lot of subgenres and popular movies within the sci-fi world. I mean, there is an Inception episode, there's several multiverse episodes, there's time travel episodes, and each one kind of deconstructs, you know, some of the things that work and don't work about those tropes and makes fun of it along the way. And I think that's why Nerdist is calling it the best sci-fi show.
And
it also
plays in those tropes very well.
Oh yeah.
To the point, I mean, like, yeah, it'll make fun of some inconsistencies, but the science still works relative to the show.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of Cronenbergs.
Definitely a lot of 80s movies references.
Sure.
Like pretty much in every episode, there's something. Like even at the end of the last one, I was like, oh, they didn't do one. And then she's like, the person, the crazy maid who like is on the Titanic with
Cape Fear.
She's like, ah, Cape Fear, Cape Fear. Like doesn't even like remotely try to mask what it is, and then gets run over horrendously.
So we should say this show is on Adult Swim. It's an animated show.
Yep.
On Adult Swim, and it was created by Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon, who also created the show Community, mm-hmm. formerly on NBC, now on Yahoo. And I am a big fan of the Harmontown podcast, Dan Harmon's weekly podcast, where he just kind of sits in front of an audience and improvs and raps and mostly rants. He has he's a very opinionated person, and he also loves his 80s movies, so like James was saying, and you know, anyone who is a fan of Community would get some sense of the style of the show. I think it's very much the voice of Dan and Justin thinly veiled through these characters. You know how on Community the was it six or seven main characters all just represent kind of a different facet of Dan Harmon's personality. Mm. This is, I think this might lean a little more in favor of Justin Roiland, though, especially in the episode 60 Minutes, the one where they create a DVR that picks up channels from alternate realities.
That's great. That was a great episode.
Apparently, Dan was saying that they just sat Justin down in the sound booth and had him improv for long sessions where he came up with stuff like, I'm Anson Myers Johnson, and this is my electronic shop. Is it still here? I can't see anything. Which he said they also have an episode like that in the next season, which is starting out very soon. Just a Justin improv episode.
I hope that's like a season tradition. Because that multiverse DVR episode, I mean, they got to have so much fun with that. It's like I was saying before with the sci-fi. Like, they took complete advantage of, like, okay, infinite universes, you have TV, you can literally watch anything. There is no limit here. So just go.
And yet there's still a lot of... there was still a lot of heart in that episode, which isn't really something this show gives us that often.
Yeah.
It's that... And the moment where Rick, in the multiple Mortys episode.
Close Recounters of the Rick kind.
Sure. they got a little heavy-handed on the Rick puns with the second half of the season. where Rick...
Kind of docket some points on that.
It's ridiculous.
Rick kind of has his moment, his epiphany, where he realizes how much Morty means to him, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the other... big emotional button of the show, I think. Mm.
It is, but I mean, yeah, it's also predicated on an entire plot where Morty is nothing more than like
a cloaking device.
Yeah, he's a necessity. You have to wonder, would he even have started teaming with Morty to begin with if he didn't need him to like cloak his brainwave? So. Yeah, you get this exploration of their relationship and what has brought them together, but everything is still very self-oriented in Rick's world. He's always out for himself, and he just happened to like start to care about Morty. And on the second to last episode of the season is when you get that realization. So yeah, it's very grim in that sense.
We were saying while we were watching it, I mean, that episode does get... It is the most emotional. I didn't get emotional at all in the multiverse DVR episode. I felt that moment was like forced with a song. But the Rick emotional moment I felt was very genuine.
So you're saying the moment with Jerry and Beth?
Yeah, I was
didn't
just
get you at all?
No, I was like, okay, you just played a song over some slow-mo. But I mean, the Rick moment was very genuine. I thought like that would have been a much better season finale.
Yeah, I still agree with that. That the penultimate episode should have been the ultimate episode.
Good wordsmithing there.
Let me give you a point for words.
Ah, sweet.
We do divvy out points to determine who picks next
especially
week.
Especially with the whole Nemesis Morty with the eye patch thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a total lead-in.
They're going to pick up on that. They have to.
Yeah, Steven, you were saying you hope it seems like the 60 Minutes could have a counterpart in season two. They have a lot of loose threads. I feel like almost every single episode has some sort of
something to come back to,
some sort of thread that they could come back to.
Oh, you know, yeah. Half son going to be doing this season? And
he's an author now. He's a successful author talking about how he hates his dad. there's another dimension that's just populated by intelligent dogs, you know?
Yeah. The thing I love about shows like these is, you know, you got it with Futurama and with Ugly Americans. You know, you write a show in a world where anything is possible, and you can just, it's like...
You're just planting seeds all over the place. Yeah.
And it's so, like, freeing to be able to write for a show like that, I'd imagine, because it's just, like, you can come up with anything. It's like the yeast beast, a beast who comes up with, like, just makes beer or something like that. That's something you could write into the show.
Minus a point.
Okay.
You know what you did.
I just thought of another great invention. Guys,
yes?
It's an invention that makes beer. Huh?
I like it. Huh? I like it. I think that's totally doable.
You don't want points this week, do you?
Come on, man.
But yeah, that like with shows like that, it just seems like it's almost like a writer's playground where you could just do anything, and there's no, the only way you could argue against inserting something into the show is if it like doesn't support the ongoing plot, or it completely counteracts the ongoing plot. But then again, you could come up with loopholes for that too.
Multiple universes.
Yeah.
You can just write yourself out. One thing I like about the show, going off of that, there is kind of a loose ongoing plot. You could jump in any episode, but if you watch them sequentially like we did, you'll notice that, you know, they reference the Glorpalorp planet in Rixty Minutes. Just to remind you, like, oh, hey, that happened, and we can watch TV from
that planet. It's Gazorpazorp.
Gazorpazorp, whatever. And, you know,
why doesn't
Morty
get minus a point?
Minus a point, James.
You know, Morty has a moment with his sister where he points to outside to where two episodes earlier his corpse was buried, and you realize, oh yeah, this is a different dimension.
That's something I didn't think they would go back to, because like you've seen it, that's something that also happens in like Futurama, where they kind of like they stop the cycle by killing their former selves, but then it's like never brought up again, you know.
It's just
one of those things, it's kind of swept under the rug.
TV shows very much like to get back to their equilibrium state at the end of every episode, and so, you know, going to another dimension and burying your past bodies, especially for an animated show like this, just a goofy off-the-wall animated show, you, like you were saying, you just really wouldn't expect them to revisit it, much less for such a punch-in-the-gut emotional moment, too.
That's what I wasn't expecting.
They did play that darkness up several times, and I guess that's something I didn't overlook on my first viewing. But it wasn't something that hit me as hard as like watching it with a critical eye while watching this. Just how depressing that episode was. Like when you see the effects on Morty and he never copes with it for the rest of the episode. And there's still probably a good minute and a half to 2 minutes left in the episode when they bury the bodies.
That, I guess we're touching on one of the one vice I have with this show.
Not being able to...
Like, I do get emotional, but not at the parts you're referencing. Like, you... Like,
well, I didn't get emotional, but like, it's heavy.
I saw that, I was like, oh, that's kind of funny, because it's one of the real things you have to face that you don't really think about with multiverse theory. I mean, multiverse theory is something I think about a lot, actually. But I was just like, oh, this is kind of funny. I get to see a TV show finally tackle this. You know, the idea of there's multiple yous, and the plausible situation of like, well, what do you do when you meet your dead self? Okay, haha. I've kind of thought about that before. But like, what do you guys think about a couple episodes earlier, which this is the point in the show where I think it got the most real.
Yeah.
Is the episode where Morty gets to go on his adventure and he meets Mr. Jellybean.
Oh, God.
And
was messed
up. Yeah,
and
Mr. Jellybean starts molesting him, and then he has to, like, you know, like, beat him up and pound his face in the toilet and leave. And he goes up to Rick, and he's just, like, so heartbroken and like, Rick, I just really want to go right now. I was like, oh, that is sad. Like, that had, like, way more of, like, a lead-up and, like, affected the rest of the episode for me, and that like resonated, and then you're reminded of that when you find out that, spoiler alert, the Jelly Bean is the king, and he's had this long history. And then you're
like the idea,
what?
Of spoiler alert, and then the words that come out of your mouth are, the Jelly Bean is the king. Like,
I don't know,
it's not exactly the most serious show that we need to like warn for spoilers,
but watching it I was like I thought that moment got way more real than like any, except for when Rick realizes how much he actually loves Morty. Like, those are the two moments, but that I think are like, whoa.
It's for that reason that, you know, Michael was saying, it's considered one of the best sci-fi shows on TV right now. I would go further to say it's one of the best animated, maybe even just one of the best shows on TV right now.
Right.
In my mind, it's certainly one of my favorites, just because of incredible moments like that, as well as just how freaking funny it is.
Oh, hilarious. Like,
such a funny show. Is it one of the first episodes? I think it's the second episode, Anatomy Park.
I think that's the third.
The third episode, I think.
I love that one. That was one of my favorites.
Whenever we have the giant naked Santa Claus hanging over the United States, the hardest I have. The first time I saw that, it's the hardest I have laughed.
Oh yeah.
In such a long time, just I was losing my mind.
Just the pure idea of like a giant naked Santa over the U.S.
And then, oh, I wonder. I can only imagine what it looks like over the Rockies right now. I like, you know, the word hilarious has never, you know, I was losing my mind because it was so funny. It
yeah.
One thing I love about this show, and, you know, that episode does a great job of it, is it crams so many jokes into each episode, and they just go straight for the extreme in each joke. Like, they just get straight to the punchline, and because of the performance, they can get away with getting rid of a lot of the setup and lead into it. It just plays off so funny. Like they know, okay, you're thinking this, and you're thinking that that's wrong, and we're just going to go straight to it, and that's why it's funny. But I love the line. I can't remember the name, but Morty's dad's parents, so, you know, his other grandparents
right.
on the other side of the family tree, come visit for Christmas, and there's this weird black guy there, and he's like, what exactly role is he doing? And you can tell Morty's dad is really off-put by him. And then, you know, what's the daughter's name? Summer? Yeah. Summer, you know, speaks up at one point. And the guy just gets up and says, you know, no offense, sir, but I think you really need to connect with your family.
Yeah.
And he just, like, you know, most episodes would have like an entire episode about that conflict, but they just go straight to that punch. And I remember watching that episode for the first time, I think, with maybe, was it either you, Ryan, or maybe Saman? It was in my old apartment. Went like, oh, man, you can't say that. And like, it just got straight to the laugh. And there's plenty more laughs like that throughout the episode.
I think that's the same episode, actually, Anatomy Park.
Yeah.
That's what's going on the other side.
Outside of the body.
I also like that their B plots are often completely different and somewhat mundane compared with, you know, whatever venture Rick and Morty is going on. Like in the finale with the Titanic experience.
Yeah.
Completely different from the interdimensional party that... Rick, Morty, and Summer are throwing back at the house.
Well, you see, that's something that I was worried about with this show when I first started watching it. I was just like, okay, so I get it. Rick and Morty are usually the ones that are off on their adventures, and they're going through interdimensional, you know, warp zones and stuff like that. I was like, that's cool.
Like,
but
they're playing,
like,
Mario
what's
going to
happen with Summer and Jerry and what's
Beth?
The wife's name? Beth. Yeah. Like, a lot of the times I was worried that I wasn't going to care because it was going to be so boring, but the episode that alleviated my worry was actually the second one, where dogs over the world. And, that sort of thing is nuts. Usually what will happen is, like, Rick will give them something like, here's a box that does this magical thing, but don't overuse it. Yeah. Meeseeks was another great one. So that one, like, I realized, okay, so we can have fun outside of just Rick and Morty, which was my main concern for the show.
Yeah, they definitely give the B plots an element of ridiculous as well. Even if it's not, you know, Rick directly giving them that, like a Meeseeks box, it's something ridiculous like a Titanic reenactment cruise. And that's I love how they flip the whole premise on the head, and they do that so many times. But like, that whole premise is, sir, I'm afraid we don't have a problem.
What do you mean we don't have
a problem? We're going to miss the iceberg.
Well, turn, damn it.
For playing that out, I'm going to give both of you a point.
All right.
Yeah. I got a net worth of like -1 point still.
And there's like little bits of commentary in a lot of those situations. And you said Dan Harmon is extremely opinionated. So you can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. But like, you know, I've heard he hates Inception. And that is definitely, there's an entire Inception episode where Rick will like go off to the side like, I thought more complicated was supposed to be cooler, Morty. Don't you like this?
Well, I guess everybody's stupid movie is stupid.
Yeah, or I guess that chance they make fun of Titanic. So it seems like he definitely puts his personal opinions deep into the episodes.
There was one of the newer episodes of Community. Britta is going off on a rant, and she says something like, if voting had any power, it would be illegal. Which is something Dan has said on Harmontown at least 3 times in various rants against the government. So
I want to go back to this Nerdist article. They do a great job of just kind of summing up the series, and I wanted to give it a shout and also hear what you guys think.
Is it in spite of the raucous comedy that Rick and Morty can delve into such heady hypothetical sci-fi ideas, or because of it? I certainly don't think any other show, except maybe Black Mirror, also known as the most depressing show ever written.
God, that show is depressing.
Could have an episode like Me Seeks and Destroy, where a series of single-use helper creatures become homicidal in the A story, and Morty getting sexually assaulted by a creature called Mr. Jellybean in the B story. It's a lot more than just parodies and references. Each and every episode is the funniest thing you've ever seen, and also the smartest, and also the darkest, and also the weirdest. And that's what science fiction at its best truly is.
Yeah, it definitely goes for dark. And I think science fiction originally was used as a tool to kind of explore those extremes, because, you know, when you have the fantastic, you know, future tech, you can, a lot more things are accessible story-wise to your character. And this takes that and injects a lot of comedy into that trope. It's amazing. Very masterfully done.
I think that article is very well said, where, you know, these are just half-hour episodes, and yet they do everything. And that makes them so jam-packed with fun and interesting things that you're constantly being bombarded with.
And on top of that, you're laughing at all of it. Like, no matter what they're framing, whether it's dark, whether it's sci-fi, whether whatever aspect of the show they want, it's always funny.
That's just how you make good television. Yeah. Is by not, this might be, you know, a product of more modern times, where we have so much demanding our attention nowadays, such as Periscopes or. you know, whatever the new social media is.
Spend a lot of time in submarines.
Twitch live streaming is
the point
new
for
thing.
That?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, I'm people, tempting you.
People are just starting to live stream their entire... This little bit of a tangent. Not as bad as the Mad Max.
I think you went into this last week right before we started recording.
Did I?
Someone did. I don't know. Go on.
Where everyone is just live streaming their entire lives now.
No, it was me.
Oh, yeah.
Where you don't... you know, there's no possible way you can watch all of the content in the world. Whereas, you know, when TV first came out and
there was
the
like
60s,
three channels.
Yeah.
And it was on only for like 16 hours a day.
Everyone watched the exact same programming at the exact same time.
And everyone talked about the exact same shows.
Yeah. There's,
and you literally were living under a rock if you hadn't seen one of four things in existence.
Yeah.
Or if you didn't have a TV at all, which is even more true now, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, now it's a computer, though. But yeah, it's a product of, this age that we live in, where for a TV show to be really special, I think it has to, not linger on jokes, you know, and not waste our time basically.
Yeah.
To just be constantly coming up with new, innovative, funny, smart, thought provoking, dark ideas.
Yeah.
And cramming them all into one 24 minute episode. 22 minute episode.
I mean, that's even more impressive.
Yeah, and like you said before, this show definitely doesn't linger on the jokes. Like I was saying before, it gets straight to the punchline, then moves on to the next thing. I'm curious, and this isn't something I would dock this show points against, because it's kind of more how each person consumes media, but I was getting kind of exhausted watching it towards the end of this session, just because it's so many laughs, and it's so extreme and up top, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like I could only watch, you know, one or two episodes of that, and then I'd be just kind of spent. Because you know how kind of like a movie has like ups and downs, because you have, you know, 2 hours to fill?
Sure. This has, each episode has up and downs, and you're doing a lot more emotional expenditure while watching
And you're just
it.
Like, it's so quick to where by the end I noticed I wasn't laughing as much. Even though I know I was enjoying it, I wasn't having extreme laugh out loud moments.
Sure.
Were you guys having something similar?
It's definitely one of those shows that I feel like, Under normal circumstances, I probably would watch one or two and then take a break. But that's also just how I watch shows.
Yeah, I can't do binge watching. Yeah,
yeah. But I see what you're going yeah. for.
This is my third time watching through that first season, and every time I've done it, usually took a couple days. So this is the first time where I did it all like
in
one
two
day.
Sittings.
Yeah, so. But it didn't take away from my enjoyment, but that's
probably because I had seen it in its entirety before. I kind of already knew what all the jokes
I was,
are.
I was chuckling right now, before the jokes, yeah.
I wasn't watching for the jokes this time. I was watching for, you know...
analysis.
I had read this article, and I was like, oh, wow, there is some really deep stuff there. So I was watching it more for kind of the emotional content or, the things that are worth investing in beyond just surface level laughs. And there's so much there that I found on these viewings, like noticing themes and stuff like that, which normally when I watch something for the first time, it's a very superficial viewing. I don't really dive that deep, but second or third viewing, I'm able to do that. So I enjoyed it.
There's some social commentary in here kind of subtly. I mean, there's one episode where, and it's something I still don't understand to this day, where the devil sets up a shop where he sells cursed items. And then after, you know, when the episode is almost over, he's filed for bankruptcy and restructured his shop. And 6 hours after going back online as a website, he goes, okay, and we just got bought by Google. Done. Which is a trend you see all the time. And it's something I'm like, I think that's stupid. Why would you pour your heart and soul into a company to sell it off? I kind of get it. But yeah, like there's a little commentary on that. And there's also a little commentary, a much darker commentary at the end of that episode with Mr. Jellybean when they find like the photos, presumably of all the kids he's molested, and they say, no, destroy it. He'll mean more by what he stood for. And you're like, oh, this is kind of a thing that happens.
Like the reverse. It's like, yeah, he's Harvey Dent.
Yeah, it's just like, oh. You know, there's little bits of that. And it's just funny, and it makes you reflect on real life a little bit. It's kind of like science fiction should. I just love that element of it. Mm.
So obviously, this being an animated show, it's quite a bit cheaper to produce than it would have been if it was a live action show. But what do you guys think of the animation? Is it?
I love the style.
For a first season show, I think it's spot on. You know, like a lot of the times you look back and you see, you know, where they may have cut corners in animation for especially shows like, I'm not sure, nothing's coming to me right now, but it seems like most shows that are animated tend to be a little rougher in the first season.
Yeah.
And
this gets straight. Yeah, the first episode is animated just as well as the last. They just nailed the style from the get-go.
There are no missing frames, really. Right.
But, I mean, also with the freedom to kind of take their show anywhere, you know, all these, you know, the multiverse idea, there's so many places that they can go that they do get more creative as the show goes on, but it still all kind of harkens back to honoring the animation style that they had set forth for themselves to begin with.
Mm-hmm. See, I haven't watched more than 3 or 4 episodes of Futurama, I would say.
Oh, really?
Interesting. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Really?
Just because most of those episodes have been in the first season where the animation is super basic. And more than that, it seems like they have no soundscapes. Like they have no background or ambiance or anything. It's all the dialogue. And then when nobody's talking, it is perfectly silent.
Also, a lot of the characters sound completely different than in like even the second season.
Oh, yeah. There's no voice development. They sound exactly the same from the first episode to the last in this show. Like I remember as a kid watching Pokemon.
Actually, the pilot in this one, Rick, sounds a bit different.
But it's so... like, it's subtle. It's not jarring. Like, even as a kid, I would watch cartoons like Pokemon and be like, oh, Team Rocket sounds different, and it's only been 4 episodes.
Yeah, or even like Peter Griffin on Family Guy.
Actually, every voice in Family Guy except for Brian. Yeah.
Especially Meg. She's had like 3 voice actors, but that's a totally different thing. I do love that the show kind of has a Simpsons-esque base for their animation style. It's simple, you know, the characters are
there's
very
not really
simple
any shading on the characters.
They're kind of solid colors, round shapes, familiar shapes. But then, you know, once, like you were mentioning, they go into these alien worlds, you have like, oh, that's like a testicle monster.
Well,
that's really
like,
what it is. And it's so fun. And they like play with like really gross styles, and they do it in a way to where it all blends and it seems like a continuous experience.
Well, I would say that its art style is most like that of Adventure Time. And in fact, it's a show that's very much like Adventure Time in terms of its creativity. It's just very different in terms of its dialogue and in terms of its plot lines and how dark it can get. And it's not nearly... I mean, it's wacky, but I wouldn't say it's like goofy like Adventure Time is. You know, Adventure Time's like kind of cutesy and
lighthearted,
like, lighthearted and all the time, even when it's not.
We actually had a write-in from Gabe Alvarez, who was the one who introduced me to this show.
Hey, Gabe.
And he says, Rick and Morty, this is halfway through his message, but Rick and Morty is also not the only show to balance a whimsical assortment of characters and settings with surprisingly dark and introspective content. Do you see shows like Adventure Time and Rick and Morty leading a trend in animation? Do you expect we'll be seeing more animated programs replicating and following this formula? Write me back, Gabe.
I hope so. I mean, Adventure Time is, I don't watch it as much as I should, but I have it on my DVR. I watch it when I can.
Mm-hmm.
It totally has, like, you know, those kind of sadder, darker elements that make a show deep and long lasting. And it's a reason, I mean, it's a totally good reason for all these adults that love that show to love that show. I mean,
right.
It's got depth to it.
Maybe actually, what I haven't seen Adventure Time.
Maybe what I meant to say is, like, this show isn't afraid to get more gory and more disgusting.
And they have fun with
gross.
It.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and you know what? Shows that do that gratuitously always turned me off. Always.
Mm-hmm.
And I never feel like it's gratuitous in the show. To me, it always adds
because there's
the,
laughs like
yeah,
paired
it,
with it.
It's layered. Yeah. It adds to the actual joke that they're making, and it's not just like Ren and Stimpy where it's
oh,
like
I can never get into
gross stuff for the sake of gross stuff.
Well, like it's like when the people become where the whole world is
Cronenberged.
Yeah, Cronenberged, and then they become like these praying mantis slash Cronenberg things, and they're just doing the news. And I was like, okay, and it looks like it's going to be a little rainy out there today. And boy, do I love Rick, or do I love Morty?
Yeah.
It's like, no, I love Morty. Shut up, bitch! I'll rip your arms off. And then like you know, it's just that sort of because they're still grotesque and look crazy.
But still sound
it's
like
still
news
funny,
anchors.
You know, yeah. Like you're not just completely grossed out or just laughing. You're a little bit of both, you know?
Yeah.
Michael, I want to one-up you with my first experience with this show. So I first saw this show when I first moved out here. I was finishing up UTLA, and one of my professors, this was actually my last class. No, wait, my second to last class of college ever. One of my professors was James Fino, who is actually one of the executive producers of this show. He's a UT alum, and he teaches at UTLA. And
God, that would be cool.
It was. It was a super fun class. He took us to Starburns Industries and showed us a lot of the other things they do with Adult Swim, you know, some of the stop motion stuff. But on the very last class with him, he said, all right, well, we're going to show you a pilot for a show that just got picked up by Adult Swim. It's called Rick and Morty. It's based off of the relationship between Doc Brown and Marty McFly, which is very timely that we followed up that movie with this pick.
It was intentional.
There you go. Good job. Fist bump. Boom. But he showed us the pilot, and as I remember, it's pretty much exactly as it aired. I can't remember any differences, but I remember leaving that class, and me and my other classmates were thinking, this is amazing. Why do I have to wait a year? And so for a year, I was telling people, like, guys, this show is going to come out, and it's going to be amazing. And when the ads were coming on, I was telling everybody, like, you need to sit down and watch this show because I want the ratings to be off the charts.
Which is how I felt after watching a sneak preview of Mad Max last November.
Ghost. Oh, boo. Boo.
I brought it back around.
He was waiting this entire podcast.
Ryan, wait until your pick to talk about Mad Max.
I'm going to say -2 points for that. However, for your overall contribution to the discussion so far, I'm going to give you 4 points.
I like how mine
are. So you're at +2.
I like how mine are just like scratched out all over the place.
-1 for looking at my pad.
Oh, okay.
I read that, or actually I watched a bonus feature on the Blu-ray for Rick and Morty. And one of the things they said changed between their original draft and it airing on TV was how many times they said their character names to each other.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Rick's always like, Morty. And he's like, I don't know, Rick. And like,
yeah,
they cut it down substantially.
It still feels like
adult,
they say it a lot.
Oh,
you know?
Say it a ton, but apparently it was a lot more.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, like, to me, that's like when you do an impression of one of them, you
Morty.
Include names. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they just say it so much.
I don't know, Rick.
It's like part of the show's voice, and I love it. So.
Or my personal favorite. I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me.
I'm Mr. Meeseeks. That actually sounded more like an old prospector.
That sounded like
well, there's gold in these hills.
You're dumb.
I know. I am. You're going to -1 for
no.
me?
No.
Oh, okay.
I may give you a point for challenging me to take away a point.
I'm just wondering where it'll go at this point.
All you want
point.
Is points taken
point.
Away.
not going to give you the satisfaction. All right, guys. Well,
let's
rate it.
Ratings.
Ratings.
I'll start.
Do it.
I brought this to the table because I think it's a masterpiece. And then, like, all, like, I had a write-in basically calling it one of the best shows of all of the last 10 years, one of the best sci-fi shows of all time from Gabe. I read this article that confirms opinions I already had and pointed out stuff that I didn't even see was there. And I already thought it was awesome, but I like it even more now. I'm going to give it an A+.
This is definitely one of those shows that I feel like it never stops surprising me in terms of like what it'll be able to pull off, because there's literally no way to prepare for what it might, you know, throw at you. I felt like maybe the whole interdimensional thing started to get a little tired, because towards the latter half of season one, it seemed like they used that a lot. But it also, it's never like they're going to the same dimensions. So at the same time, you know, it's always new. It's always fresh. And it feels like a grown-up version of Dexter's Laboratory almost sometimes to me. With that, I'm going to have to give it an A. Solid A.
Yeah. This was very good choice to watch. And I've enjoyed watching this show, especially since I knew about it way before. I was just like,
Whatever,
hipster Steven. No, it was like, I really want everybody to love this, and everybody does, as far as like, I haven't really met anybody who's like, it's not
Rick and
thing.
Morty.
I'm glad to have been brought out from under a Rick.
You had already seen it. What's your rating?
Can I be brought? I can
James,
never
just
be
say your grade
and move
okay.
on.
Okay. Great show. I do think some of the more emotional moments fell flat for me, because those happened a little too fast. I think those are where you need to stop and take more time.
Steven, I don't think
not
you like emotion.
Room.
Yeah, because this also hindered your Shaun of the Dead opinion.
Well,
just
these
see,
fit
just
way
like
more.
Major rating. Just say it.
These fit way more than Shaun of the Dead. That's a whole other talk. I'm going to give it a solid A.
Well, guys, just like Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah? What about it?
No, but for real though, now that Mad Men is over, and yes, I'm comparing this to Mad Men in terms of my personal favorite shows on television right now. This is at the top of my personal charts, for reasons that I've stated, how smart and funny and dark and clever it is, and I'm going to give it an A+.
Well, that rounds up to an A+.
I don't think we can round up to an A. I think we have
to
have a unanimous.
You get two A's and you get two A+.
I think we have to have unanimous to give something an A+.
You know what, though? I kind of do agree with Ryan. I think the A+ should be held to, like, the highest of levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, two people felt that way about it.
I think it has to be all of us.
Well,
I think this
that's
is
just not
you
how
don't,
averages
you don't
work.
But you don't want to dilute the value of an A+. Like, you don't want it to be like, oh, this podcast gave half the stuff an A+.
We don't give half
no,
the
I know,
stuff
but
an
A+. Like, how many things have we given an A+ to? Maybe
a
three?
Unanimous A+.
I know for sure the
like
first
two.
One was. Second one?
The first one what?
Well, Shawshank and Casablanca, I believe.
Tell me more about Mad Max Fury Road, Ryan.
Maybe next
guys,
week.
Guys, this Rick and Morty gets an A or A+. Lubba lubba dub dub.
It's an A. We're gonna save it.
Well,
a strong A.
We're just gonna start calling unanimous A+s
an
A++s.
An A with...
We'll have to work
I don't give a
out.
Shit, motherfucker! That's season one! We're out! Season one! Bam! Rick and Morty! Out!
We still have a challenge.
Oh, yeah, we do, don't we?
It's
we
have time for the...
Challenge!
Me? Oh, yeah. I challenge you.
Now I'm holding this.
Just a quick... standings for our points. We have two for James, one for Steuben, two for Ryan.
How do I still have 2 points?
I don't know.
You came back, man.
I guess.
It's that pretty face.
What's our challenge, Michael?
Okay. You are all different Mortys from different multiverses, but you're with the same Rick, and he's trying to figure out which Morty he wants to take forward with him to be his Morty.
Morty.
So you guys are just going to improvise as Morty as you're going to make choices that would indicate to me that you are the best Morty for the job as I take you through through a plot.
And are you going to be Rick?
Oh, I'm going to be your Rick.
Are we going one at a time or all at the same time? Because no, I feel like
I'll,
a lot of...
I'll address you.
Okay.
You'll be... You're going to be Morty 1. Morty 2.
James is Morty 1. Steven is Morty 2.
That's me.
Morty 3. That's you over there.
Oh, Rick.
All right.
Ryan's number 3.
Morty's. Look, I know that everything... everything I do is selfish, so we're gonna take go on an adventure that you want to do.
I don't know about this.
Morty, I guess sounds a little dangerous.
I feel like that might be a bad idea.
All right, listen,
Rick. I've been wanting to go on my own adventure for so long.
Well, it's still I'm still telling you what we're doing. It's one you're gonna like.
Hold it with two hands,
Steven. Morty number 2. Thank you. All right, Morty's. What we're gonna do is,
yeah,
we're gonna impregnate Jessica.
Oh, I don't know. She doesn't even know I exist. Rick.
Actually, I think on second thought, maybe that's a good idea.
Morty, number 1. What do you want to do?
I don't know. I was thinking maybe taking her out to dinner.
Should be me.
Asking her.
No, I'm not asking you how. I'm just. Do you want to do it? Which of you Mortys wants to be the one?
It should be me to do it, Rick.
Hold on. I think that maybe that's a better idea for the number one Morty to...
Don't listen to him, Rick. He's just lying. All right,
number one Morty wants to do it.
Yeah, in your face. Me.
Shut up, you.
No.
Me.
Huh?
Rick, this is so confusing.
I think it's a terrible idea, and if I want to sleep with Jessica, I'll do it on my own, not because you told me to.
Okay, Morty number 3, you're being kind of a buzzkill, but it's okay. It's whatever. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna incept Jessica.
I don't know, this sounds a little complicated,
Rick. Wait, didn't we do something
Rick?
Like that already?
Shut up!
It's kind of a greatest hits, Morty number 1.
Okay.
Oh, that was a great film, Rick.
This has gotta be great to listen to.
It was a real product of the masses, but it was still really well done and clever.
It's a bad opinion, Morty 3. It's a real bad opinion. This is gonna affect you. All right, so we're now in a we're gonna be in Jessica's dream now in a 3, 2, 1.
Where are we, Rick?
We're in a dumpster.
Why are we in a dumpster?
We landed in
a
dumpster.
Was Jessica born in a dumpster?
No,
Rick?
It's your prom.
Is she a dumpster?
It's your prom.
Is this my dumpster baby, Rick? Is this what happens when I impregnate?
No.
I don't think I can handle this kind of pressure, Rick.
Morty 2, calm down.
I can't.
Morty 2. Look. Jessica has a used tampon in here.
Oh, okay.
We need to find her egg. We need to find her discarded egg.
Oh, gee whiz, Rick. This is
so.
This is real gross, Rick.
I think we're all in consensus. All of the
Mortys. I think we all agree this is bad. Couldn't we get her hair
listen,
or
Morty,
like some skin samples?
Listen, I need you guys to snap out of it. We're gonna get this egg pregnant.
Can't we just go kill her and bury ourselves again?
Are we gonna get the egg pregnant right here, Rick? Or
no, that's disgusting. You're my grandchild.
Okay.
Are you going to watch?
No, of course I'm not. Which one of you wants to do it?
How do I know?
Who wants to do the deed?
This isn't really what I signed up for. I thought this would be something a little more romantic, Rick. Jessica's not even here.
I was hoping it would at least be a little more fun, Rick.
This isn't an adventure.
I don't want Jessica's.
What do you get out of this anyway?
I don't just want Jessica's baby. I want her to love me.
You gotta start somewhere.
Have sex with me.
You gotta trap her into a marriage.
Are you
Morty.
Talking about mom and dad?
No, listen, Morty. Look, she's never gonna love you the way you are. So you gotta trap her. You gotta get her pregnant. It's the best way.
Why do you care?
This is just for you. Don't worry about it, Morty.
You want another Morty, don't you? You want a Morty Jr.
No.
One's not enough.
Of course
Three's not.
Three's
not enough, Rick.
No, it's not what it is at all. Look. Oh, shit, there's Scary Terry. Hey, bitch.
Oh, no. Remember that time we helped you?
Terry,
we're friends, man.
We're buddies, right?
Yeah, bitch.
High five!
I just slashed you to death with my sword.
Oh, now you're dead,
bitch.
High five!
Rick, do you have any of that medicine?
Morty, this is bad.
Oh my God, I'm in so much pain.
Morty number one is dead. Oh. Morty number one is bleeding out and is dead.
I can't deal with this twice.
Rick, don't you have any of that instant healing medicine?
This is the second time I've seen myself die.
Well, which one of you Mortys wants to go get the thing?
I'll do it. I just...
All right, go into this time portal, Morty number three.
Okay.
So, Morty number two, while he's gone, what do you want to fertilize this egg? I mean, this is probably the most privacy you're going to have.
I don't know, Rick, but I mean, I don't see Jessica anywhere. Wait, you right here?
It's your call.
I can't
Morty.
Do it if you're watching. Look away, Rick. This isn't really how I...
Are you done yet?
Wait, okay. What do I... Do we get, like, a test tube for this, or is there, like, a process?
Okay, well...
Grandpa Rick.
Do you see what he's trying to do right here?
I do, and Morty, I have to tell you, stop doing what you're doing. It's not going to work.
Who is this?
Morty, it's me.
Who are you?
It's you.
Me?
I just spent 15 years in an alternate dimension where time moves differently than this one.
This is really heavy.
And in that one, I asked Jessica out after the quarterback was out of the way. Well, you know, you do some growing, and in college, you really hit your stride, and you come into your own body, and you start cleaning yourself up and dressing properly.
I thought I'd be a failure for life. Are you saying there's hope?
No, there's plenty of
no.
There's plenty of hope, Morty. You just have to believe in yourself and don't go through with Grandpa Rick's plan. You just have to be patient. It'll happen the natural way. You don't have to trap her into a marriage.
So
she loves you, Morty. She does.
Morty, don't listen to this guy. He's just a big old puss ball. Give me the serum. We can bring back Morty number one.
Of course, Rick. You're always saying I should trust myself. This seems like a pretty real me.
What happened? Look,
who are you?
Look,
we're not going to go over this again.
Okay.
Look, Morty number two got Jessica's egg pregnant, and. I'll take care of getting inside her. Who's got the promise ring? We need to get a promise ring.
Promise ring? Like one of the Jonas Brothers guys?
Exactly. Ring? Sure. Whoever those queers are.
Let go, Mortys.
What? I'm still not sure who this guy is, so I'll go get the promise ring down the street at the pawn shop.
Good move, Morty.
All right. I'll be right back. I'm with future Morty. I don't think I need this promise ring. I think I'm going to... You got any, like, tips? Any, like, pickup lines?
Well, no, you're just kind of a loser right now. You're going to have to...
Oh.
You just have to be patient.
So there's, like, nothing I can... I just...
There's literally nothing you could do. You're 14 goddamn years old. There's nothing you can do about it right now.
Future Morty, are you saying you ended up with Jessica?
Yes, of course I do.
Do you have her...
She's been my loving and beautiful wife for 19 years
now. And do you have any... You have a child.
We have two children.
Can you just bring them to me?
I don't know, Rick. This is my son and daughter you're talking about,
man. I'm back. I couldn't find a promise ring, but this cat threw up this tinfoil, and I thought I'd just turn it into a ring. So
beautiful improvising, okay. Morty number one.
Right,
that'll seal the deal.
Here you go.
She'll give you that D real bad.
Wait, what? I don't know. I don't think that's the way this works.
I mean her diaphragm.
No. Of course. I don't know what that is either. Is that good?
The dimension where I grew up in, Grandpa Rick dies only a year from now, as a matter of fact.
No.
Don't listen to him, Morty. Look,
Grandpa
just
Morty,
Rick.
Just
Morty,
give me,
you'll be,
give,
you'll
give
be
me
there.
Jessica's
you'll,
baby.
You'll do the same if you're with him when it happens.
Give him the diaphragm.
Just give me the kid.
When he's dying, here's the ring. I already gave you the ring.
It's for you to give to Jessica, numbskull.
Of course, okay.
It's a proposal.
Wait, where is she?
She's inside the prom.
Oh, we're still in a dream, right?
Yeah, sure.
So there are no consequences, right?
Die, all right.
Hold on. Let's wake up now. All right.
Oh, we're still doing this voice, but yeah. We're awake.
Look,
now.
Morty's, I'm going to be honest with you. Jessica from this universe is a genetic anomaly, and I need that baby, Morty, for my research, Morty. I'm going to crack that baby open and just... I need all of its DNA, like all of it. I'm gonna splice it up real good, Morty.
You want to murder our children?
I'm gonna make a genetic super baby army for research, Morty. I need you to get me Jessica's baby.
I don't know, Grandpa Rick. I may still have this voice, but I went through a lot of shit in that dream sequence. And
as far as I'm aware, we didn't really accomplish anything.
Whatever, we'll chalk this one up as a failure. Wubba lubba dub dub.
See you next week.
That's the end of the episode.
That's got to be all great right. To listen to. There's three Mortys.
Well, that was an experience.
It's going to be fun to edit, I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be doing a lot of peeking.
All right, guys. Well, so there was a source that I was actually judging your decisions based on, and it's the book of the Good Morty.
What? Is that actually like a...
From the episode.
Yeah.
It actually came with the Blu-ray.
Oh, that's awesome.
As a booklet. And it says that to be a good Morty, you must never do what Rick says. And so, Ryan, you absolutely crushed it because all you were doing was saying to not do what Rick says. And the other two kind of went along substantially more.
It was like a gradient. I feel like I was in the middle.
You were.
Yes, on some things, no on the others. And James was like, I'll go get that subservient.
We were the angels on Steven's shoulders.
I was totally, totally fine with giving up my free will for Jessica's.
So
vajayjay.
So
James, no, that's the principle.
James, Morty number one, you got minus 1 point and plus three, so plus two total. That leaves you with 4 points.
I got plus three despite the fact that I said yes to everything.
Yeah, well, I paid more attention to when you guys said no and put your foot down.
Oh, okay.
Steven, you got plus two because there was just a general hesitance to everything. So you get 2 points for that.
Yeah, that's just Steven,
though. That's just Steven.
So
you end with three.
Ryan,
you actually went a bit went along with quite a bit up front. And then once you came back with your normal voice and just delivered what I wanted to hear, I gave you a lot of points. So you got minus two and plus six. So that ends up being plus four. So you end with six, and so you are our winner for the week.
Woo!
Yeah.
What are we getting? God.
Yeah.
You all right there?
you okay there, Michael?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I had to get
something clear. Well, guys, this wasn't going to be my pick coming in, but let's go see Mad Max Fury Road.
All right, let's
Road.
Do it.
You can talk about it some more.
I'm up for it.
But for real, though, could we just copy-paste from the start of this episode to next week?
No, I have plenty more to say. I can fill up another episode.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, I can't believe you guys haven't seen it.
Been meaning to, just haven't had time.
I've been meaning. I'm not opposed. It's just,
yeah.
I haven't seen any of the original movies, and I don't know how necessary that is.
Okay. Yeah.
I've heard, I'm in the same boat.
You don't really have to worry about it. No.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it a reboot?
I heard it's just kind of a floating sequel.
I mean, it's technically, George Miller says, we can talk about this next time, too. It's technically a continuation, but it doesn't really pick up any past plot threads.
So. Okay. I may watch the trilogy this week just anyways.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Well, if you do, let me know.
Got
a question everybody should have for Mad Max?
I wasn't prepared. But I can talk about... So the question for next week will be... what do you personally think about the new wave of feminist movies and the controversial...
the men's rights movement.
The controversial opinion of the Men's Rights Association.
is that a real thing?
That's
men's
a real
rights
thing.
Association?
Yes.
It
oh,
is.
Geez.
And they had some words about the latest Mad Max movie.
Oh, so I got to look into this.
Yeah, I encourage you to look up.
There's Al Qaeda, and then there's men's rights. I'm not going to say which is worse.
So, yeah. Michael's not going to say which is worse.
I'm not. I won't do it.
Write us in your thoughts about new wave feminist movies, and that'll be fuarock@gmail.com. Tweet us @fuarockpodcast.
Check out our Facebook page.
Our Facebook page,
which
is,
we are officially, it's a go. It's a green light.
Facebook.com/from under a rock.
It only took us how long?
40 episodes.
It's been up.
And
yeah.
If you enjoyed our, if you enjoyed this Rick and Morty podcast, you know, please give us a rating on iTunes.
Share it around. Let people hear it. Let us get known.
Let us get into your sexy ears.
Take everyone else in the world out from under the rock of not having listened to this podcast.
This,
we want to be inside your ears.
I'm very...
Can I still take away points?
Yes.
Steven,
do it.
James, I'm zeroing you out.
Yes.
Steven, you were a runner-up.
Second place.
There's going to be a, I'm really excited to see this challenge video once it goes up on Thursday, on Hyperdrive Pictures.
I am too.
Anything else going up there, Steven?
Starting a new series that should get some more subscribers our way, but keep your eye on Lauren Francesca's channel, doing a cooking show there and then behind the scenes vlogs from that. So, and if you're just coming here from her channel, welcome. Subscribe. We do this podcast every week, as well as those behind-the-scenes vlogs you came over here for. Yeah, that's all that's going on with Hyperdrive. Oh, Power Rangers Essentials is back. Boom! I know you wanted it, so it's there. I don't know what just happened.
He's stealing everybody's phones.
Good job. I literally didn't see you take it out.
I think you were the only one who didn't realize what was going on.
Except for Ryan. I'm just like, can I have your phone? He's like, yeah, sure. And he just hands it over after I have
I thought you needed a prop phone. Like, oh, for no. It follows.
No, he needed three. And then he's just going to leave with them. But it's for a great skit, I'm sure. You know, we'll just wait.
And then I sent a script over to Steven for a future Hyperdrive thing. So hopefully
doing
that
skits.
Happens.
Doing skits.
No timeline on it, but yeah.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for this week's episode.
Everyone give the mic a kiss.
And let's go around the table for one last roll call.
I am Michael Ornelas, a.k.a. Mike Bourbon.
I'm James McNally, a.k.a. Nick Doodles.
I'm Steven Zerita, a.k.a. Steven Stupin, Suburban the Burbs, Zerita the Jerk.
And I'm Ryan Evans. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
From Under a Rock.
Right.